just happy to go out there and pitch five innings and be able to put together, you know, give our team a chance to win and let the bullpen take over. Yeah, I mean, I'm happy with it. I'd like to go six or seven, but I'm sure that's coming.
And is this a good test for going forward too for you?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a check off the list and just on to the next one now.
Welcome back inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score with Bruce Levine. I am David Haw here for another hour. And that was the voice of Carlos Rodon after last night's five inning outing for the White Sox, his return to the mound after experiencing some shoulder issues. But that was a welcome sight for White Sox fans and certainly for our next guest. We go out to the Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas hotline, home of the world's largest sports book, and that is where we find White Sox pitching coach Ethan Katz. Good morning, Ethan. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great.
Well, that had to be a welcome sight to see Carlos Rodon look as strong as he looked Friday night against the Red Sox in command. The velocity, he reached back and got it when he needed it in the third inning, and certainly seven strikeouts, a good sign. How would you evaluate overall what you saw from Carlos?
Overall, it was a really good outing. You know, if you would have told me he's going to go five innings and one run, so I would have said, sign me up. Stuff looked good. He looked sharp. He felt good. Felt like he could have kept going, which is a great sign. And it's a big boost for us when he's on the mound.
When you have a game going like that, Ethan, and again, we both thank you for getting up early. By baseball standards, 10 a.m. after a night game is equivalent to about 6 a.m. So thank you for doing that, first of all. And when you look at the efficiency that he had in the first three innings, how far did that really take him to get through five yesterday?
Well, I mean, he had some stressful innings in the third, trying to get through that, even though there wasn't a lot of traffic. They were tough at-bats or 7-8-pitch at-bats. It kind of worked him a little bit. But him being able to push through that and you know, maintain his strength and get stronger as he went along, you know, I think he had a little roadblock there at the end because of how hard he had to work. But, you know, it's really encouraging to be able to see him take the mound and show him what he's done all year.
He said he could go six or seven, or that was his plan in his mind. What is the plan moving forward? Is it kind of incremental progress as you get closer to the playoffs? And when you get to October, I mean, is there any reason to believe why Carlos Rodon, if he is as dominant as he has been at stretches during the season, couldn't go seven innings in a playoff game?
Yeah, I mean, I think the playoffs are a little bit different circumstance. Obviously, when the guys in the playoffs, we're going to do whatever we can to win that day, and then six or seven innings, then great. You know, pitch count's not going to be as important as we are paying attention now within reason. But for the most part, you know, that's great. He wanted to go deeper, but we also have to make sure we're being smart and calculated with his workloads, because when he's pitching every, you know, 9 days, 10 days, we want to make sure that we're not spiking him too much. And you know, what we're going to do here moving forward, I think step number one is kind of see how he feels today after his outing and then kind of reassess and go from there and then plug him in when he feels good and kind of just read as we go along day by day.
Ethan Katz, the pitching coach of the White Sox, joining us on Inside the Clubhouse. David Haw, Bruce Levine every week, 52 weeks out of the year, talking baseball, 9-11 on the score. Ethan, some fascinating conversation with Lucas Giolito, who's always an interesting guy to talk to, about his injury and how he very honestly and pointed out that he felt that sloppy mechanics on his part was a key to him getting some stress in his hamstring and having to sit out a start or two. I wonder if you can talk a little bit about that mechanical issue that he talked about as far as, you know, how he finishes his pitches and how that might be remedied when he comes back.
I think he's being a little bit, you know, I wouldn't say he was completely mechanically, yes. you know, the way he, when he lands, he locks out. And a lot of pitchers do that. But for the most part, you know, he's trying to, when he lands, be a little bit softer on his lead leg, which is, you know, that's something that he's ran into a little bit of an issue before with his hamstring in the past couple of years ago. So he's trying to correct that, but it's something where you can't really take away that aggressive finish to a pitch, especially with the lead leg. But how he goes about it, he's trying to feel it a little bit differently. So he's not, but you can't really, you know, that's the aggressiveness of the delivery. So it's hard to kind of take that away. So I think he's going to be a little bit hard on himself on sloppy mechanics. His mechanics have been fine. But it's just something that we're going to monitor and make sure it doesn't aggravate him when he does land.
You explained it very well. Lockout, meaning that, for the layman, when he finishes his delivery, he kind of pushes down on that leg and goes backwards rather than flowing through. Would that be an accurate way to explain it? And we see Dylan Cease have a similar finish from time to time.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the aggressiveness. There's a wave of energy when that front foot lands that shoots through all the way up to the top of the ball releasing. So you can't really take away that aggressiveness because that's where you know, guys are loading into the ground, and that's where they're getting that wave of energy. So if you take that away and the leg doesn't, if it's not a strong landing, then, you know, you're losing power too. So you got to keep that intact.
Ethan, tomorrow Lance Lynn returns to the mound as well after a stint on the injured list. So I wonder two things as we await that return. Number one, how hard is it to tell Lance Lynn he's going on the injured list and given his intensity? And number two, what do you expect tomorrow from him?
I expect, you know, a normal start. We'll keep his pitch count a little bit shorter. But for the most part, it's going to be a normal start. He's, you know, I think he understands, you know, when we talked about possibly, like, you know, let's take care of this knee and make sure that you are good to go the rest of the way. He understood. He's a very smart guy. He's uber competitive. So you love that about him, but sometimes you have to be his sense of reasoning and get him to understand there's a bigger picture and that we got to be able to take care of him so he can be able to have a strong finish to the year.
Ronaldo Lopez is a breath of fresh air that came along for you guys late in the season here when you really needed it. He's responded to your coaching, the coaching of other pitching coaches in the minor leagues, but to come back and just be as aggressive as he has been and looking like the pitcher from 3 years ago is kind of remarkable. I wonder some of your thoughts on Ronaldo and how he will probably be able to continue to spot start you guys all the way into the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, he's been a huge boost for us. He's been, you know, he's filled the void for us in the bullpen, and now he's starting and filling that void for us so the other starters who have been going all year can get some rest, and especially with some of the injuries we've had. I mean, he's been a savior. He's, you know, what the work he's done for us this year and how he's been out there and competing and give us a chance to win and also give us shutdown innings and big moments in games has been unbelievable. You know, he's had, his confidence is through the roof right now. He's feeling good about where his stuff is, and his stuff is really playing up. And, you know, it's exciting for him and exciting for us.
Ethan Katz, White Sox pitching coach here on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Ethan, Dallas Keuchel is a proud veteran who was very honest about his struggles of late. His ERA has gone up in each of the past 2 months, and he spoke openly about wanting to compete for a spot on the playoff roster, knowing where this is all headed with a magic number now at 12. Where are you with Dallas Keuchel, and why has he struggled to the extent that he has?
Well, I mean, you know, I think, you know, Dallas is working extremely hard in between outings. He's not happy with how he's been pitching. But, you know, his last outing was a huge step in the right direction, no matter what the line score said. But, you know, it's just something that we're just going to keep plugging away day by day and trying to get him back to where he was. And he's feeling good with what the work he's putting in. Now we just need the results to match that. And, you know, we'll see where things land. But, you know, he's got another outing on Wednesday, and look forward to seeing him throw because, you know, like I said, the last outing in Oakland was a big step in the right direction. He really made just one pitch that we wish we could have back. And that's all we could control, you know, and that's being able to try to execute the best pitches as possible, one pitch at a time. And, you know, he showed that last outing, and he's been working hard, and his work on the side has been great. And, you know, we'll see what we get Wednesday, but I think we're going to have another nice start and kind of keep pushing him and see where things land.
Ethan, last night had to be gratifying for you, Tony, and the rest of the coaches from how it worked out. The game plan from the fifth inning on after Carlos came out, and other than Tepera, who actually made a lot of good pitches and probably deserved better, everything worked to perfection. You, as David and I talked about this morning, you basically got four saves from each inning on, from the sixth through the ninth. Could it be more gratifying than watching that game and playing a great opponent and having all those guys pitch as well as they did?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a huge testament to what the front office has been able to do to help, you know, bolster our roster and being able to, for them to hand the ball off, or starters to be able to hand the ball off in the fifth inning. And, you know, you have great assets down there to be able to close out a game is great. It is a really good feeling. We have confidence all our guys down there, but obviously the guys that we threw out last night, we feel you know, really comfortable in any situation and be able to match up the way we did with some of their lefties and then also match up with some of the righties. I mean, that's kind of what we're looking at as we move forward. How can we maximize all those guys down there against the matchups? And last night was a great example.
And one of those guys, I think that a lot of people, that when he is on the mound, you kind of stop what you're doing. Michael Kopech out there, and when he's throwing heat and he's matching up against guys, he's just so much fun to watch. You know, he has had a mostly up season. He has had some moments where he struggled, but I think that's typical of a lot of young pitchers, Ethan. When you look at Michael Kopech and where he is, because this is a long season, and he may be, you know, it's the longest since he's come back from the surgery. How strong is he going into this postseason, down the stretch and into the postseason run?
I mean, he's strong. I mean, he's going strong. I think that little, you know, hamstring thing that happened early in the year, you know, that shut him down for a month and a half, I think it was, probably was a blessing in disguise, because, you know, with his workloads in the past, this probably is going to help him be strong at the end. His stuff has been great. And, you know, he's going to continue to get the ball in big moments. That's kind of where he's at right now. And we have all the confidence and belief, and the stuff's right there to match it.
In closing with you, and David and I really appreciate your time today. When you look at Dylan Cease, and you take yourself away, if you can, from just being the coach and being involved in any pitch and just watching the pitcher and the stuff, what would you envision for a Dylan Cease as far as a ceiling for his future?
To this point, I've been really happy with what Dylan's been able to accomplish this year. I still see a lot of developmental growth that still needs to happen, which is really exciting for him. But, I mean, it's been to step back and just kind of watch where everything's at and watch him evolve. It's been really nice to see. He's starting to believe in how good he is and how good he will be, and it's a big boost for us as an organization.
Ethan, I'm very curious. So, yeah, you know, you're at the end of this first season, coming to a close, and it's been such a good one. And you're in your first role, first year in the role of pitching coach, and in comes Craig Kimbrell, a Hall of Fame caliber closer. And I just wonder how you approach helping him, you know, managing him, you know, collaborating with him to get the most out of this, the rest of this year. And that's, he knows what he likes. He knows what his routine is. And just from a pitching coach perspective, what's it been like dealing with a guy like that?
It's been great. I mean, obviously with guys like Craig, you step back and watch and observe and see what they do. Because obviously they've done something right for a reason to get where they are. And then after that, if there's some stuff that you see that you're curious about, you kind of dig on the back end. And then when it presents itself, you talk to the player and stuff like that. There was some mechanical stuff that he was a little bit off that we presented to him and showed to him. He responded really well, and he's gone out there and he's been able to replicate everything we talked about. But for the most part, you let them kind of, you observe, you understand the why of what they do before you try to just jump right in and try to tell them this is what they need to do and this is what they're going to do and stuff like that. You got to learn them a little bit first.
Thanks, Ethan. I appreciate your time this morning. Good luck this weekend and the rest of the way down the stretch. Terrific year so far.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Ethan Katz, White Sox pitching coach, Bruce, and he has done a nice job of dealing with a lot of a range of experiences, a range of he says injuries, a lot of things going on when you're the pitching coach of the White Sox. But, boy, look at that starting rotation and what they've done this year in that bullpen as it starts to come around. This is going to be a fun month of September and into October.
I enjoyed a lot of that conversation there, David, and his hesitation to answer about Dylan Cease and a cautious answer that he gave I thought was very telling, because he didn't want to say that he could have the best stuff in baseball within the next year or two. And a lot of people, the scouts that I talk to that come into the ballpark all the time, just look at Cease and marvel at the progress that he has made and where he's at. I think he has 7 or 8 games with a double-digit strikeout so far this year, which is pretty amazing. And on top of that, David, Ethan talked about Dylan believing in his own game and stuff. And I think that is certainly the key here, because the stuff is off the chart. He has, in my opinion, on a very talented and noted top staff in baseball, he has the best stuff. And look, going forward, I think the sky's the limit if between those 2 years, he continues to develop that great belief in himself.
Okay, I got to follow up there, Bruce, because I know that you asked that question for a reason, and it's a mm-hmm. good one. But I want you to clarify or to make a distinction between, when you say that, you're not talking about necessarily lack of focus, or you're just talking about getting more experience in how to approach hitters, or is it a combination of both?
Neither. It's a belief in himself.
Okay. Confidence? Command?
To repeat what he's doing, to believe that what he's doing out there when things get tough is still good enough. And then you've seen the walks go down. You've seen the ability to throw, as Hendricks always calls it, the strike ball. The ball that appears to be a strike, but it's on the other side of the box, the strike zone. He has continuously this year, in my opinion, gotten to the point where he has a greater belief in his ability to continue to get outs and push it toward 6th, 7th inning, and not worry about whether he's going to pitch 6 or 7, but staying in the moment of being able to get outs when he needs to in those tough situations. So the maturity, I think, has been great for Dylan Cease. And you can argue all those guys have the best stuff and maybe the best stuff in the American League. I think Cease is, the sky is the limit for him.
The only ones who come close might be Kopech and Aaron Bummer. But I do think that your point is well taken. Yeah. But I have to, before we break, how does a pitcher, though, that good with that much potential and enormous talent, Bruce, lack confidence to the extent that you just described? And I'm not arguing with you. I think it's an accurate observation, but isn't it interesting that you have somebody that physically gifted that may be held back just by his lack of confidence this early in his career?
I wouldn't, you know, I think we decided on the word confidence. I think the better word would be repeatability on his stuff. Okay.
Consistency.
Yeah, the consistency of repeating, because I think if to get to this level and be the pitcher that he is right now, you have to have a great deal of confidence to get there. You have to be good. But when the moments get a little tougher and the innings start to mount and the pitches, the pitch count goes higher, I think there's that tendency for a little bit of self-doubt as to whether he's getting the job done the way he wants to. And I think he's gotten past that point where he just goes out there and throws his game and gets through those innings. And I think it's really been fun to watch him, I won't say mature, but just grow as a pitcher on the mound. And again, if you're telling me 2022, 2023, 2024, that he's vying for the Cy Young Award every year, I will not be surprised.
Well, Bruce, you know who is a master at not letting the pressure exceed the pleasure? That would be our hopefully next guest, Joe Maddon, the manager of the Angels, and he will join us here on Inside the Clubhouse on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haugh on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Welcome back inside the clubhouse here, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, broadcasting live from the Hyundai Sports Studios, presented by your local Hyundai dealers. Bruce Levine, David Haugh, till 11 o'clock. Bruce, hoping to connect with Joe Maddon soon. Today, the Cubs back out there against the Giants, Zach Davies against Kevin Gausman, and the White Sox with Dylan Cease on the mound. We talked a lot about Cease last segment with Ethan Katz, our guest. He also mentioned Lance Lynn tomorrow. I'm looking forward to that one because Lance Lynn, how injured was he, Bruce? What do you know? What do you think? And what should we expect?
Well, Lynn, you know, had just a little bit of knee soreness. So his opinion was, under the circumstances, with the big lead and everything that they've, you know, put into getting this lead, that there was no reason not to rest that knee, and that he would normally be able to pitch through that. There was no reason to do that now. So you'll see a pretty whole Lance Lynn tomorrow night, or Sunday rather, pitch against the Boston Red Sox.
All right, Bruce, at this time it's time to go to our guest line, sponsored by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book, where we have a special guest.
A good friend as well, our good friend Joe Maddon, the manager of the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, joins us on Inside the Clubhouse on a beautiful Saturday morning. Joe, welcome back to the Midwest. How is Houston? I know it wasn't a great outcome yesterday, but getting back to the Midwest, how is that?
Hi, Bruce. I'm doing well. Hi, David. Really good. Listen, last night's a tough game, but I'm here to tell you, this group that I have right now, I'm really enjoying this season a lot. We've had, like a lot of teams, our share of injuries, but this group that I have right now comes to play every night. I enjoy my conversations. We're definitely building. We're just missing some pieces, but it's good. It's a great group. It's good to be back. It's great to hear your voice, and thanks for asking me on.
Absolutely, Joe. Big tribute here in Chicago yesterday to Chris Bryant, his first time back after being traded to the San Francisco Giants. Some of your thoughts about Chris as a player, but maybe more as a person, because if you had success in baseball, I know a lot of it has to do with your relationships with people and how you respect them and treat them.
Yeah, KB, first of all, he's a wonderful young man. He's got a great heart and a great spirit, great soul about him. What a wonderful teammate, and I just talked about the group I have now, but KB always came to play every day. He did not like out of the lineup. Sometimes he might have rolled his ankle, but he would recover very quickly. Just an absolute team player, and this is the thing that I think is underappreciated about him. He's a complete player. He runs the bases well. He throws well. He plays multiple positions. We have this tendency in our game to just equate prowess with offensive performance, but KB is a baseball player. I love that about him. And like I said, he comes to play every day, and he's a wonderful teammate. He supports everybody around him. Beyond that, sneakily, this guy, this person, howdy wise, this guy, when you put him in front of the camera, I think he does great. I think he has a lot of charisma. Obviously a good looking guy, but great with a great smile. But KB, there's so much about him that makes him a wonderful teammate. I know he's going to succeed greatly in San Francisco.
Joe, it is a pleasure to talk to you again, and I think everybody hears your voice out in our listening audience, and they just feel a sense of familiarity, and the Cub fans love it. And, you know, you talk about Chris Bryant and him returning yesterday. It was an emotional day for a lot of Cub fans. It's been an emotional season because of the way the core has been dismantled. I just wonder, from your perspective, I know you're immersed in the day-to-day activities as being a manager requires, but what did you think when you saw all Javi and Riz and Chris Bryant traded in the same day and the rebuild beginning?
Yeah, it's a sad day in a sense. Listen, we did so well together, and all those guys, we cohabitated well, got to and won a World Series together, all of that. But, you know, there comes a time sometimes, and for all of us, that change is a good thing. And, you know, just watch it from a distance and how the season was going and where they ended up being after the winning so many in a row and then having that tough streak. I think it's good for everybody, quite frankly. It was good for me, in a sense, to get a new opportunity here, although it would have been nice to just, you know, stuck around a couple more years. I can't deny that, with the boys, and see if we could have pulled it off again. But I think you get saturated at a certain point, especially in today's climate and how the game is reported upon and all the different maybe outside pressures or whatever, however you want to describe them. I think it was good. I think it was good for everybody. I think it gives the Cubs a chance to do it again. I know I'm a big fan of Jed. I really enjoy Jed and Jason and all the guys back there. So it gives them an opportunity. I know the fans are going to have to wait a bit, and that's difficult because that is the most glorious place in the world to report to work, and I've always appreciated that. But I think it's good. I think Javi will have a rebirth. I've had a chance to visit with Riz already in California when we just played them. Really had a wonderful conversation with him. KB, just exchanged texts to this point, but I'll get a chance to visit with him too. But I think, you know, change at a certain point could benefit everybody, and I think that's what's going to happen here.
Joe, you have to give us the daily routine of what it's like to be managing. We know you have Mike Trout, who's a superstar, but it's been hurt most of the season. But Shohei Ohtani, how you communicate with him, and what it's like to manage a player of this magnitude, someone that we've really never seen before, and maybe since Babe Ruth back in the early 1900s.
Well, he makes it easy. He's such a wonderful, humble young man. He just is. That's who Shohei is. As you see him on the field, that's exactly how he is. And communicatively, he speaks better English and understands more than people know. He's really bright. He's very observant. He doesn't miss anything. He's got a high baseball IQ. So, like last night, game over, he was like really upset at himself for not having a good night. But I texted with Ipe, translator, right before I went to bed. Says, how are we doing for tomorrow? And wrote back that he absolutely wants in the lineup as a DH tomorrow, which normally is a good thing. He normally hits well after the day he pitches. But that's it. I mean, on a daily basis, we talk at the ballpark, and then after the game, I check in to see how he's doing for the next day. And that's the process we initiated in spring training. And we've been consistent with it all year. It's been really easy, quite frankly. He's just a different athlete to be able to do what he does. The last game, 117 pitches, comes out and plays the next day. I think he hit a home run. On the day after he pitches, I don't even know how he does it, because you have to be sore, you have to be tired, you have to be feeling dehydrated. You got to be all kinds of different things, and he's not. He's just a good guy. Best way to describe him. Really love working with him. And it's going to continue along this path and just get better, because I think as he learns the league and pitchers and his and himself, you're going to see him be able to replicate this for years to come with good help.
Talking with Cubs legend Joe Maddon, also the Angels manager, coming to town this week. Joe, you're going to play the White Sox, the first place White Sox. Wondering, number one, how big that challenge is based on what the White Sox have done this year. And number two, what are you looking forward to coming back to Chicago?
Well, first of all, you just gave us some good news as you led into it. Lance Lynn's pitching on Sunday, so it was great to hear that. You know, that I was wondering whether they're going to slot him in, and of course they're going to pitch him against the Red Sox. I just love coming back there. I mean, I talked about it before I got there. Chicago was always one of the top stops on the tour, and you always love to just get to Michigan Avenue. I love walking up and down there. My little coffee shop there, Cafecito, right on Chestnut. Hopefully I'll get a chance to stop in there. Boys, we're going to go out and play some golf on Monday. It's an off day. So the group, we have the GGA, the Geigel Golf Association. We get out and play a lot. It's been a great bonding experience for a lot of us. So we'll play a little golf. Go out to dinner with Alan Nero, my agent, on Monday night also. It's just Chicago, man. You how could you not enjoy it? You come into town and you know you're there, and when you get down into the downtown area specifically, there's just such a vibrant, wonderful, throwback kind of a place that if you cannot enjoy that, brother, you just cannot enjoy. So that's it. And my guys are going to go out to dinner that night. I set them up. BJ helped us out getting reservations for the coaching staff because I'm going to be out with Alan. So it's going to be busy, typical, enjoy yourself in Chicago moments. How could you not? It was wonderful. It still is wonderful. I'm looking forward to getting back. And then to play the White Sox. Yeah, they're doing well. Good. I like I've said before, look at us. I mean, we're only like 3 or 4 games under 500, and that's in spite of a lot of stuff going on right now. My guys, I really appreciate this group that I have right now. And we'll be there and we'll play. I promise you one thing, this group will show up. I can't even tell you the last time I thought anybody took a day off mentally. It's been a fun experience. But to play teams in first place right now, it really tells us where we're at. It's a great marker.
Joe, you've always been the type of guy that learns every day, and that you know, age and experience helps, but that keeping current with handling new situations and people is what's kept you viable. When you look at the modern player, though, now, is this a player now that needs to have days off, that needs to have rest, that needs to be told in advance that we're going to rest you next weekend for 1 day or 2 days? How essential is that? And maybe is that the way that it should have been all along, where there's better communication for the human being, the human inside of the baseball player?
Well, yeah, you know, Bruce, you know me pretty good now, and I've always done that. I mean, this isn't something new for me. Even when I was interim manager, I would post the lineup for the next day on the door for the guys walking out of the clubhouse, so they can see who's playing the next day. If I wanted to rest somebody, even as interim manager, I'd give them a heads up in advance of that moment. And again, a lot of it has to do with the wrong way to do things, which I learned from some managers too, that I would never want to replicate. So again, it is the way it is now, and there's nothing wrong with it at all. I do believe in rest, and I do believe when you have a rested body and mind, you're going to get a better performance. Cal's record's never going to be broken, I don't believe. I don't think that'll ever happen again. And that's okay. That's okay. It's just a school of what's happening now. And you have to make adjustments. You have to make adaptations. And if you choose not to, at some point you're going to deem yourself unemployable. And that's not to say that you don't stick with what you believe in either, because you can. You can balance both. It's a conversation constantly. It's always communicative. And that's what I'm going through right now. Perry Minajian, Chicago guy, my GM, love him. This is a blunt object, and he tells you straight up, and he tells the players straight up, which I love. And then Alex Tamman, who runs a lot of our advanced stuff, just talked with him last night after the game. It's straight up. So you balance this analytical concept where sometimes front offices are afraid to get into the world of the old school guys, and the old school guys are always tread lightly in the new world. And I think it's wrong on both ends if you don't attempt to find that middle ground and that balance. Because if you choose to be polar and either over analytical or over old school, you're going to get your butt kicked. So understand balance, understand why both sides are good, and understand that to me is the best method to move forward at any time. and especially in this generation of sports and the young players that we're working with.
Joe, before we let you go, have to get your perspective. Mm-hmm. Today, September 11th, obviously the 20 years commemorating the anniversary. And you know, we're talking about how baseball helped in its own way, small but significant way, of helping our country heal. So today, as Major League Baseball pauses and we'll honor that anniversary and its role in that healing process, when you reflect back on that day, you were a bench coach with the Angels at the time, what will go through your mind?
Well, you know, I think it's in a general sense, we're as a being patriotic and being American. I mean, of course, that resonates and hits home. And my dad and my uncle served in World War II, so all that is present. But on a personal level, my one of my best friends from Lafayette, Neil Levin, was the head of the New York Port Authority at that moment. Had just been assigned weeks or months before that. And he was up in the restaurant on the top floor when this occurred. So even today, as I sent out my lineup to the coaching staff, I included an article that had been written about Neil from way back when this all occurred. And I just thought that, you know, my coaching staff, which is a very empathetic group, I thought they would really appreciate that. And even if it's one story, one life to be told, I think that in some way jogs for all of us, it resonates for all of us. All the personal strife and conflict we've had to endure since then. So today it's about Neil for me. You know, I know it's about everybody, and I get that, but I think on a personal level, you're always going to settle into that moment. So I'm thinking about Neil. Neil was my drinking buddy. He was my confidant at Lafayette, and probably would have been the future governor of the state of New York. So this just really never forget, as we always hear about, and I just talked to my guys about don't miss it. Just slow things down and understand what's going on before your very eyes, because we have a tendency to move too quickly, mentally and physically. So just slow it down and don't miss it, and understand the greatness that's occurring around us. Last point, this is the national pastime, and we got to start talking in that way again. Other sports, people are believing that these other sports are more pertinent than ours. I totally disagree with that. But we have to put it out there. We have to both nurture the fans that we've already got, as well as attempt to find new ones. And as we do that, just really galvanize the fact that this is the national pastime.
Joe, we appreciate it so much, you joining us. Looking forward to seeing you, my friend, this week. And I know we're going to have a nice little group together, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I know we're all looking forward to it.
Thank you, buddy. Listen to all the folks listening back there. I miss you guys. It was the most wonderful 5 years of anybody's managerial existence, and looking forward to get back into the city there and walk around, like I said, around Michigan and just feel it again.
Thank you, Joe.
You're the best. Appreciate Joe. Thank you.
You guys are well, David. All right, David. You take care, Bruce. See you soon.
Joe Maddon, the manager of the Los Angeles Angels. Great to talk to him, Bruce. Great setting that up. Thank you very much. I think Cubs fans appreciate hearing from him. That was just a tremendous night. Good timing. He sounds great, and it was just nice to talk to Joe Maddon.
It's hard to have a bad day with Joe Maddon. It really is. He is one of the most positive and interesting people that I've ever met, and looking forward to a nice lunch early this week. Mitch and I and a couple of the other guys are going to have lunch with him, and really looking forward to it.
That's great. Positive and interesting. That's what we want to be in our final segment when we come back. Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Welcome back. Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. And just reacting to Joe Maddon's interview, good to catch up with Joe coming to town this week with the Angels. And I think that, Bruce, he's sounds as good as ever. And I think just getting the reaction here on the text line, and also just hearing from a couple friends, the more you hear from Joe Maddon, or when you talk to him again, it realizes how much you miss hearing from Joe Maddon, because he always has something to say. You can, you know, relitigate his managing skills as a Cub manager, whatever you want to do. But when it comes to just communication, this guy is at the top of the list when it comes to managers and coaches in this town and how he was able to do that successfully.
The manager of the world champion Chicago Cubs, 2016. I don't think you need to say much more than that, right? Right. You know, 107 years down the line. Plus, just the individual himself, you know, just a terrific man and a terrific baseball man. So really looking forward to seeing him. David, in closing with you, we thank certainly Joe Madden. We thank Ethan Katz, Adam Studzinski for a job well done producing the show as well. In closing with you, is baseball dying? Is it out there on a limb? I don't think so. Yesterday in Chicago, we had 30,000 people at Wrigley Field. We had 34,000 at Guaranteed Rate. Baseball is alive and well in Chicago, and I'm pleased to continue to report on it and talk about it on the radio, on the Score every day. People can
absolutely
follow me on Twitter.
Bruce.
Thanks, David. People can follow me on Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine. I write on our website, both Cubs and Sox, daily at 670thescore.com. David, have a great week.
Mark Grody is next, then down the line with Cody Decker at noon, then 12:45 Cubs pregame here on the Score. Zach Zaidman builds a bridge to Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer. Thanks for joining us. I'm David Haw. Talk to you Monday. Mully and Haw here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.